This is number 6 of the 12 non-Muslim references for Muhammad in the Muhammad A to Z. So this will be the part 2. And we'll start in just a couple seconds. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We'd like to pick up where we left off. We were talking about the non-Muslims who had considered Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, as a great and laudable man. We'll go with number 6 of the 12. It's Mahatma Gandhi. When his book he wrote in Young India, he said, "I wanted to know the best of one who holds today undisputed sway over millions of mankind. I became more than convinced it was not the sword that won a place for Islam in those days in the scheme of life. It was the rigid simplicity, the utter self-effacement of the Prophet, the scrupulous regard for his pledges, his intense devotion to his friends and followers, his intrepidity, his fearlessness, his absolute trust in God and his own mission. These, and not the sword, carried everything before them and surmounted every obstacle." He continues and says, "When I closed the second volume," he's talking about the Prophet's life, peace be upon him, "I was sorry there was not more for me to read about this great life." And then we'll mention number 7 was the English author Thomas Carlyle in his book Heroes and Hero Worship. He said he was simply amazed, and we quote, "how one man could single-handedly weld the warring tribes and wandering Bedouins into a most powerful and civilized nation in less than 2 decades. That's a pretty amazing statement. Number 8 is Diwan Shan Sharma, who says about the prophets of the East, "Muhammad was the soul of kindness, and his influence was felt and never forgotten by those around him." That was written in 1935 in Calcutta. We want now to mention number 9. This is from Saranjini Naidu, who was the poetess of India. And she says, "It was the first religion that preached and practiced democracy. For in the mosque, when you call for prayer, then the worshippers gather together, and the democracy of Islam is embodied 5 times a day. When the peasant and the king kneel side by side and proclaim, 'God alone is great.'" And she says, "I have been struck over and over again by this indivisibility of unity of Islam that makes man instinctively a brother to his fellow man." Number 10. This is Professor Hurungji, who says the League of Nations was founded by the Prophet of Islam. I'm going to have to do number 10 again. You have to edit this. Number 10. In the words of Professor Hurungjini, this guy needs to change his name. In the words of the great Professor Hurungjini, "the League of Nations founded by the Prophet of Islam put the principle of international unity and human brotherhood on such universal foundations as to show candle to other nations." And he continues, "the fact is that no nation of the world can show a parallel to what Islam has done towards the realization of the idea of the League of Nations." Number 11 is Edward Gibbon and Simon Oakley on the profession of Islam. They write about the history of the Saracen empires, and they begin with the quote of the testimony of faith in Islam, which is, "I believe in one God and Muhammad, an apostle of God. This is the simple and invariable profession of Islam. The intellectual image of the deity has never been degraded by any visible idol. The honor of the Prophet has never transgressed the measure of human virtues, and his living precepts have restrained the gratitude of his disciples within the bounds of reason and religion." This was written in 1870, and it's on page 54 of History of the Saracen Empires. Now we'll move to number 12, Wolfgang Goethe, perhaps the greatest European poet ever, writes about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he says, "He is a prophet and not a poet. Therefore, the Quran is to be seen as divine law and not as a book of a human being made for education or entertainment." Now we've listened to what 12 non-Muslims have had to say about this great man, Muhammad. We'd like to begin our A to Z for you in our next chapter coming up right now.